kidding when I was talking with our kids this morning. This is a very magical time of year. I love this time of the year when it comes around. I think that it's amazing that on the day that we decide to talk about school and the school year starting, that the temperature's dropped to 76. It's not very often that I can coordinate the weather with my sermons, but I'm working on that. I'm doing better. So, and don't get me wrong, I love summer. I like swimming on hot days and vacations and fireworks on the 4th of July and eating watermelon and ice cream. Summer's grand. But then we can feel it as it starts to wind down. We start to feel that turn of the seasons. We start to see the signs all around us. Walmart, Target, the dollar store. Back to school. And there are stacks of fresh new notebooks. Wide rule, college rule, new pencils, yellow number 2 Ticonderoga specials, and new crayons, the big box with the sharpener in back. You open it up and it's this kaleidoscope of colors arranged in a rainbow of shades. I remember as a kid how bummed I would be that summer was ending, but up against that, I was excited that it was time to get those new school supplies. They were just waiting to be used for the first time to help me learn something, these tools of the academic journey. And new school clothes. In my house, you got clothes twice a year at Christmas. That was mostly underwear and socks, if we're being honest. And the start of the school year, I remember going shopping with my mom, and I got new blue jeans to wear to school. The knees weren't ripped out of them yet. Didn't have that permanent grass stain from sliding into first base on recess. New t-shirts with favorite teams and characters and designs that we hadn't had before. And the worst part was we would go to buy these things and then you couldn't wear them until school started. They sat in a stack on my dresser and my mother would tell me, don't wear those clothes until school starts. And it would kill me. They were just waiting. It was so hard to get dressed on the first day of school because would I wear this shirt and these jeans or these jeans and this shirt? It was so impossible to decide. When my daughter was young, I delighted in taking her to pick out her new school things. It was an exhilarating time because it meant school was about to start. There's a rhythm to the year, a pattern that we get into with the school year. And even now, years after she's out of school, I can still feel it in the air. The community can feel it. The school parking lot starts to have cars in it. As the teachers are getting their classrooms ready, preparing their lessons, moving the desks around, taking that squeaky chair that was such a distraction last year and quietly sliding it into the classroom next door. Don't think I don't know. Staff and administration show up, start planning the new year, programs that will be continued, new ventures that will be tried, new opportunities for learning and growth. I love the start of the school year, and God loves it too. God loves knowledge. Knowledge is a gift that God has given us, that God has offered to us. God gave us these brains. He created them to learn, to be inquisitive, to be curious. We have to use them. God loves knowledge. Proverbs, a book where knowledge and wisdom are treated as physical entities in the kingdom of God. Proverbs tells us, my child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, if indeed you cry out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will find the knowledge of God. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Knowledge is God's gift to us. When we seek it like it's something valuable, like silver, it's a gift from God. God wants us to reach after knowledge. Just a couple weeks ago, we celebrated the life of our dear sister, Pauline Smith, who was a longtime volunteer at Marion Park Elementary School. Pauline understood the power of knowledge, the opportunities it opens up, the possibilities it envisions. That's why she would get up every morning on her third floor apartment across from the school. She would get dressed, she would pack her lunch, she would walk down all those stairs, she would cross the street using the crossing guards, and she would sit in the school all day and read with kids. Because she knew reading is a foundational cornerstone to knowledge. Pauline knew what a glorious, amazing gift from God knowledge was, and she wanted her Marion Park kids to see it, to seek it, to grasp it. Marion Park has a volunteer program where you can volunteer to help where it's needed, where you have gifts and skills. I highly encourage you, if you have time on your hands during the day and you're thinking, what can I do with myself? If you will go over to Marion Park, they'll talk to you about jobs that they have that you could help with their kids. God loves knowledge. Jesus, God's son, was educated. We hear a wonderful story. You know, it's a shame, really, in the Bible. We kind of get this glimpse of Jesus when he's first born, and we get a lot of stuff when he's an adult, but we don't have much when he was growing up, except for this little glimpse here that they give us. His family has gone from Nazareth to Jerusalem because it's the time for the Passover. Now, they didn't go alone. They didn't load up in the family sedan and drive over to Jerusalem, right? This was a 2 or 3 day trip. They walked it. They walked it with family and friends and neighbors and acquaintances. They walked in a large group because there are safety in numbers. So there's probably 90 to 100 to 150 people wandering in this crowd, if you can imagine. And they're traveling together. You know how that gets. The kids are over here playing together, and the adults are over here talking about stuff. And they get to Jerusalem. Of course, the city is packed with visitors because it is the Passover. It's the biggest festival of the Jewish year. The whole city is cram-packed, and they're there for the festivities and for everything going on. The week gets done, and they all said, let's meet at this statue on the last day at noon, and we'll leave from there. And they all meet, and there's like 90, 100 people, like, all right, let's head out. And they head out on the road, and they get going for a while, and pretty soon somebody, I have to imagine it was Mary, because it's always the mother that notices this stuff. Mary goes, hey, has anybody seen Jesus? Right? And they ask his friends, do you know where Jesus is? They're like, no, we haven't seen him. And they ask some of the other kids, no, we haven't seen him. And they start looking around, nobody has Jesus. And as incredible as that is, you're sitting there thinking, how could they leave their kid behind? I told this story in the first service, and two people came up and told me how they left their kids at rest areas. Two. One of them only had two kids. They left half their children behind. I did. I had a friend who grew up in a big Catholic family. He had like 9 brothers and sisters. And he often talked about the long road trip they were on one time where they stopped at a rest area and they all piled out of the station wagon. They went and used the bathroom and got a soda. And they all came and piled back in. And off they went down the road. And about 15 minutes down the road, somebody goes, hey, where's Dan? And they turned around. Dan was sitting on a bench at the rest area waiting for him, right? So imagine you're in a group of 100 people walking. Right? It's easy. They assume Jesus was with them. They get down the road, they say he's not here. They start looking for him. They can't find him. They backtrack to Jerusalem. They spend 3 days looking for him. Finally, Scripture says they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. They found him in the seat of knowledge and wisdom in the Jewish culture. sitting with the most educated, the most learned people in his society, and he was asking them questions. Scripture tells us Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, in divine and human favor. We know that Jesus was educated. It was very commonplace in his time for males to be educated to the age of 13. I have been to Nazareth. I have been to there's a small village about 2.5-3 miles from Nazareth. It's on top of a hill. Nazareth is on top of this hill. This little village that they've excavated, they found on top of this hill, they found a rabbinical school there. That would have been where all the young male children would have come to be educated. It's about 3 miles from Nazareth. So Jesus would have had to walk that 3 miles. Now we know from some of the archaeological findings that there were family members of Joseph in that town. So probably Jesus went and stayed with an aunt or an uncle or a grandma while he went to school, while he learned. Walked that 3 miles so that he could learn something, because knowledge is a gift from God. And we should treat it as such. We should honor it and support it and seek it our whole lives. I remember quite vividly the day my daughter came home with math homework that I couldn't help her with. She had gone beyond my knowledge base in mathematics. She showed me the book. She's like, here, read the book. And I read the book, and I looked at the examples, and I said, Google it. Thank God. Thank God for YouTube and the Khan Academy. Because that's where she went to find the answers. If you don't know what that is, by the way, if you have a child struggling in math or science, the Khan Academy are free online videos that teach math and science across all age ranges. It's fantastic. But thank God, I don't know what we did before the internet, right? But I wasn't mad about the situation. I was elated. My kid was going to be smarter than me in math. And that was just fine with me. I didn't sit there and complain about it. I didn't get mad and rant about how the schools are changing math, how they don't teach it like they used to. Well, no, they don't teach it like they used to. They used to teach it on my fingers and toes. They found a better way to do it. It's okay. I want my daughter to be smarter than me. She should be. She lives in an incredible time where technology has made information and knowledge vastly more available than it has ever been in all of human history. She should be smarter than me. When I was in school, we started taking algebra in ninth grade. That's the first time you can take algebra. Now, it starts in seventh grade. They should be smarter than us. We should want that. That is glorious. Knowledge is a gift from God, because knowledge strengthens faith. Knowledge answers questions. Knowledge asks new questions. Knowledge forces us out of comfortable conventional positions and causes us to think about faith, challenge our faith, ask God hard things. Faith is not supposed to be easy. It does not grow unless it is challenged. Knowledge is what challenges it. As we learn something new and it doesn't fit with something we knew already, we have to ask questions and figure it out. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. From that learning, from that doubting, from that questioning is where faith grows. When you seek knowledge, the writer of Proverbs tells us, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. God gave us brains to think, to question, to learn, and God expects us to use them and expects us to create places like Merriam Park where kids can use them. Knowledge is an amazing, life-changing gift from God, and we embrace it and seek it as disciples of Jesus Christ. As such, with the new school year almost upon us, we pause to recognize this special time of year when students and teachers and staff are gearing up to begin again the cycle of education. We also recognize and honor our relationship with Merriam Park Elementary School. This will be our ninth year working with the school, feeding kids through our snack pack program, through the Harvester's backpack program, through our Thanksgiving cornucopia, through our adopt-a-families at Christmas, through those special moments we have reached out to support kids, their families, their teachers, their administration. This is a special relationship, and we cherish it as such. And so let us bless these backpacks, and with them bless the new school year that is before us. Today we have before us backpacks to be carried to and from school by the children and youth that are gathered here. As well, we have the school supplies for all of the kids that we've been feeding this summer in our snack pack program. These backpacks and school supplies represent the students who approach this new school year with apprehension and excitement, with anticipation and wonder. These backpacks will contain work to be done, work that's been returned, work that the dog didn't really eat, books to be studied, tools to complete their homework, notebooks and pencils and pens and protractors and compasses and crayons and rulers and scissors and glue sticks and more glue sticks and a lot of glue sticks. And other items used for schoolwork will find their way in and out of these backpacks. Some days, so much stuff will be in these backpacks that the student will find it difficult to walk. Other days, they will be light and nearly empty. But on each and every day, these backpacks represent work required of the students gathered here. And as in every aspect of our life, we bring these before God for blessing at this time. We recognize what these backpacks represent as well. They represent the beginning of a new school year, of teachers preparing classrooms and lessons, of staff cleaning and organizing, of administrators gathering and instructing. It does indeed take a village to teach a child, and we recognize and lift up this village, this crowd of educators, teachers, staff, administration, that they may be blessed and feel blessed and ready to start this wonderful thing all over again. We also realize that this school year does not happen in a vacuum. These are our schools, our students, our teachers and staff. This is our community, and we have a role in this as well, to support and help, to volunteer and inquire, to insert ourselves into the learning process in any way we can, that these students, these teachers, these schools might know that we are in this with them, loving them, supporting them, praying for them and with them, that God might bless this school year with hope and promise and opportunity, that it might be a year of peace and learning, of grand ideas and wondrous discoveries, that all who are in this might learn something today that they didn't know yesterday, and that they might take that nugget of knowledge into tomorrow to make things better. Please join me in a word of prayer for our schools, our teachers and staff, and most especially our students. Amazing God of knowledge and wisdom, we give you thanks for schools and classrooms, for the teachers and students who fill them every day. We thank you for this new beginning, for new books and new ideas. We thank you for sharpened pencils, pointy crayons, and crisp blank pages waiting to be filled. We thank you for the gift of making mistakes and trying again, for the joy and jubilation of figuring something out, finding the answer, learning something new. Help us to remember that asking the right question is often just as important as giving the right answer. Today we give you thanks for these your children, and we ask you to bless them with curiosity, understanding, and respect. May their backpacks be assigned to them that they have everything they need to learn and grow this year in school. May they be guided by your love. All this we ask. In the name of Jesus, who as a child in the temple showed his longing to learn about you, and as an adult taught by story and example your great love for us.